facilitate identification and investigation of locally acquired Zika virus infections in Florida.
Last and definitely shortest. Okay, is that okay for everyone? So you heard a lot about Merlin and its functionality from Janet already, so I have the ability to go ahead and jump right in. I'm going to follow that up with a little more detail related specifically to the Merlin outbreak module and how we utilized the outbreak module to facilitate identification and investigation of the locally acquired Zika virus infections in Florida. So a little background, the outbreak module was first added to Merlin about over a decade ago and was a tool for documenting and analyzing outbreaks and unusual disease occurrences. The outbreak module, sorry guys, I'm a little over-caffeinated this morning. The outbreak module facilitates the collection of outbreak-related epidemiologic data in the central statewide database, has integrated electronic laboratory reporting results, and provides a simple way for state-level staff to assist county health departments in managing their outbreaks. So the outbreak module can be accessed from the Merlin homepage, which you can see at the top of the screen. It has its own navigation tab that, when selected, navigates the user to the outbreak module homepage, where you can see each outbreak upon creation is assigned its own outbreak ID number. You'll also notice that the homepage, the outbreak module homepage, allows for some basic search functionality to locate existing outbreaks, but it also allows the creation of new outbreaks at that point in time. So within Merlin, an individual has a single profile to which multiple cases and or laboratory results can be attached. The outbreak module then allows for individuals to be grouped together by associating their case with a particular outbreak. There are three ways that you can actually associate a case with an outbreak. The first is through the reporting module, and then there are two other ways to do it actually within the outbreak module itself. Linking from the reporting module, which is shown not that I can actually reach that, but the one at the top. The simplest way is actually to go to the reporting module and enter the outbreak ID number that's already been generated into the outbreak ID field. The other way is once you've navigated into the outbreak module itself, which is the image at the bottom, you have two ways of linking that case. The first is to actually take the case number itself and enter that case number into the case number field, circled in yellow, on what we consider the people roster, which is a basic line list of cases associated with that outbreak. The other way that you can actually link a case is actually to add the last name, first name, and zip code for that individual directly into the people roster. Now, there's one caveat with that, and in doing it this way, there's the potential for actually creating not just the case, but to create a new profile. So one of the important pieces that we've worked into the outbreak module is that same profile logic that checks to see if whether or not that individual is already in the surveillance system. So within the outbreak module, each outbreak, which we also sometimes refer to as an event, can maintain an event-specific survey, which is only available for the cases associated with that outbreak. An individual's event survey can be accessed similarly in two ways, from the reporting module seen at the top by navigating and clicking on the event survey button in the left-hand navigation, or as seen in the bottom, you can access that same event survey by clicking on the hyperlinked case number in the people roster. One of the nice pieces about the outbreak module is that it actually provides a single screen for a high-level outbreak summary. So you have the ability to navigate to that detail screen and scroll down and see all these different pieces of information all at once. And I want to point out that there is some really great functionality embedded in that's linked to EpiCom, which is Florida's Health Alert Network Message Board. EpiCom users include county and state health department staff, other public health partners, and clinicians. This integrated functionality allows the user to choose to generate a summary of the outbreak based on the data available in that outbreak. And the summary is then sent to EpiCom electronically to be reviewed by a moderator. Once that moderator approves the the outbreak summary. The event is posted to the message board and can also generate a health alert email to EpiCom users. One other really nice piece of functionality is the statistics summary, which provides really a quick metadata related to the outbreak. So the data for these tables that you can see here are derived from the data in the cases that are linked to the outbreak. The tables do update automatically, and they are updating in real time. So all of these great pieces of functionality made the outbreak module an ideal option for managing the data generated by the large locally acquired Zika virus infection investigations that were ongoing in Florida. It's primarily adapted for its flexible organizational structure, which allowed us to, you know, group cases together, create different types of events, and utilize that event-specific survey functionality. The outbreak module also supported access to all the information about a single person in one place, and then allowed a great way for us to get an at-a-glance review of where individuals positive for Zika virus were identified. And then last but not least, it provided an event-to-event feedback on the effectiveness on our investigation types. So focusing down a little bit more related to our outbreak events, there were a total of 87 events created and managed in relation to the investigations of locally acquired Zika virus infections. This included 49 index events, 32 Eurosurvey events, and 6 what we considered other events. Index events really focused on grouping the index case and their contacts together in one place. The Eurosurvey events really grouped all of the survey participants together, and then the other events really were a place for where we could place the non-index cases associated with their specific areas. So Eurosurvey participants completed not only a survey questionnaire, but also provided a specimen for submission. Very often it was urine. Sometimes they also provided a blood specimen as well. Overall, there were about 2,200 people that participated in various Eurosurvey events, which we actually break down into 3 different types. There were residential Eurosurveys, business Eurosurveys, and clinic Eurosurvey events. The residential Eurosurveys were used to target individuals within a 150-meter radius of a locally acquired index case. The business Eurosurveys focused on employees or frequent customers at a business or a particular work site, such as a construction site. Clinic Eurosurveys were actually used to target individuals who lived in kind of a general area of interest and were actually taken on a walk-in basis. So a total of 43 individuals were found to be positive for Zika virus through our Eurosurveying events. Just shy of 50% of those were identified in business Eurosurveys, and then 25% each in residential and clinic Eurosurveys. Of note, we did have one person who was very eager to make sure she was not positive for Zika virus, who participated in both a residential Eurosurvey and a clinic Eurosurvey. Luckily, she was never positive. So the 3 types of Eurosurveys really shared some core questions, and you can see kind of the grouping of questions up here. Basic pieces of information, demographics, event IDs, which were assigned specifically to each event, consent, which included not just consent for completion of the survey, but also consent for specimen collection, and then simple things like travel history, symptom history, and sexual history. The Eurosurveys also had specific questions depending on the type. For example, the residential survey had a clinical history section, which evaluated whether a person had seen a physician for their illness, or if they had history of blood transfusion or organ transplant. Conversely, the business survey had a mosquito exposure history section where they asked specific questions about what was your job function at the work site or in that business, and do you remember being bitten by a mosquito while at work? So event surveys were created in Merlin and then associated with their respective outbreak module. I'm sorry, outbreak or event. The surveys, again, were specific to each event and were created in near real time, and they had the flexibility to really accommodate some just-in-time modifications. Like when the county says, oh, by the way, we need to ask this question too, we're able to make that adjustment as quickly as they need so that when they go out, we can collect that data immediately. As far as data entry, the county actually utilized a paper survey for data collection in the field. And then that paper survey was sent to the state, where our state data entry staff entered the information into the Merlin outbreak module, specifically into that event survey. This is really just to give you a picture of the overall flow, and we'll consider this the happy path. As many of you can probably relate to, sometimes things don't always follow the happy path, so I will say that in general, when we receive notification of either an index case or that we have a new area of interest that we are looking at and focusing on, or we've been notified that there's an upcoming Euro survey, those all triggered the creation of the event within the outbreak module. And then specifically for the Euro surveys, the next step was to create that event-specific survey in the system. Once those pieces had occurred, the next pieces kind of happened usually in this flow, but every once in a while, it would turn around a little bit. So you'd have the case created, and then you'd attach any laboratory results that came in, and then data entry of the survey data would happen at that point in time. So the Eurosurveys generated both epidemiologic data and laboratory data since specimens were collected during these events and tested by our state public health laboratory. Results were sent electronically from the state public health laboratory LIMS system to Merlin and then attached to labs, which could occur actually, attached to their cases. Bless you. The counties have the ability to actually choose whether or not they want those labs attached automatically by the system or if they want to be able to attach them themselves. And that decision really came down to the county most of the time, and it was based on the volume of lab results that they were receiving as well as their workflow within that county. One of the challenges that we noted with this process was that demographic information was being entered in the laboratory system, sometimes concurrently as the reporting system or in Merlin. And then when we would get laboratory results, they sometimes had slight differentiations that would cause issues with our profile matching. And that would lead to creation of duplicate profiles and cases, which then caused kind of a cascade of issues. So we'd sometimes have duplicate surveys associated or duplicate cases associated with an individual event. It created issues with data entry, you know, which case are they supposed to be entering that data into. And then also laboratory results could be spread across multiple cases, which then would impact that individual's smart case definition. So we had a lot of successes using the outbreak module for this. We were effectively able to manage a large volume of data because of that flexible group-specific event-level investigation. It provided us the structured overview of events within the outbreak module and also that real-time data to inform decision-making day-to-day. We also had event surveys that allowed for the rapid data collection and entry. Based on those standardized surveys, we had comparability both within and between the Eurosurvey events, and then we had the ability to conduct kind of ad hoc analysis as the investigations progressed. The outbreak module also facilitated a really easy access to the event data. The data was available for export for review and analysis, and then also provided us the ability to do some linking for mapping. We also had a few challenges. Collection using paper surveys is a little time intensive because of the subsequent data entry that has to occur, and then that data entry can sometimes then produce additional errors in the system. That duplication of profiles and cases continued to come up, and as Janet mentioned in her presentation, we have worked to address that already, but in this situation, it created and inflated the analysis based on the case counts, and then also required additional time for data cleaning. The one other piece that we ran into was the linking paradigm that we were using. So currently, a case can only be linked to one event at a time, but that doesn't account for individuals associated with more than one event. So based on these challenges, we've identified some additional improvements that need to be made in Merlin. Like I mentioned, we've actually already implemented some smarter profile matching to help minimize the duplicate profile and case creation. We're also in the process of developing a Merlin mobile app, which will allow for direct electronic data collection in the field and remove the need for subsequent data entry. And then we are working on the new kind of linking paradigm, which will allow a case to be linked to multiple events so that individual can actually have multiple unique event surveys associated with their case. And I think at that point I can take questions.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes for questions. Anybody have questions?
Thank you for your presentation and for the Janet's presentation as well. I've learned a lot from all of what happened in Florida. I'm wondering about just, you know, when you guys have to make these changes in your system and sometimes quickly in response to an outbreak like this, obviously, as Janet said, resources get prioritized, but sort of then they fall off as the outbreak goes into memory banks and not into. So I'm wondering about how you maintain the IT support that you need to continuously improve your system and also keep up with all the changes. Like, is it a priority for your state or is it not? And if so, how do we make it more of a priority? Because it's something, and I just heard from others who have been having conversations at this conference that, you know, a lot of people face the same issues with their system, mm-hmm. but they rely on IT, but they're not always getting the support that they need.
I'm going to let Janet answer this question. She's like on the edge of her seat already, but I think she's going to have a more holistic answer for you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you for all the speakers.